It's hard to believe, but Jeff Buckley's seminal album, Grace, was released 25 years ago this week. It was to be his only studio album. Buckley's story ended abruptly in 1997 when, at the age of 30, he drowned in the Mississippi River. The musician's legend transcended his death. He's amassed a cult-like following and remains one of the most critically acclaimed and enigmatic artists of the 90s. We've been marking that 25th anniversary here on RN Breakfast this week. The album Grace is our Double J album of the week. Gary Lucas is an acclaimed guitarist and a Grammy-nominated songwriter and composer. He's also one of Buckley's former bandmates and is on the line from New York this morning. Good morning to you.
Hi, Hamish. How are you?
We're so grateful to you for joining us today. You crossed paths with Jeff Buckley when he was just at the beginning of his career. How did you meet?
Well, there was a tribute to his father, Tim Buckley, that was taking place in a church in Brooklyn, St. Anne's Church, in spring of 1991. And the producer, Hal Wilner, who was the curator of this tribute, asked if I would collaborate with Jeff. And I said, I didn't know Tim had a son. I was a big Tim Buckley fan. And neither did he, but Jeff had come forward. And so I went down to the church to rehearse and met him and was very taken with him. And that's how the ball got rolling. I invited him over to work out one of his father's songs, and I heard him sing, and my jaw dropped. And I said, you're incredible. You're a fantastic singer. And then we wrote a song that afternoon. We just started to immediately fall into collaboration together.
What was it about him that made your jaw drop?
Well, besides having a range that was very, very unusual for any singer I'd ever worked with, that could go from, you know, the highest of high notes to a very convincing low register, he had fantastic charisma as a person and as an artist, and he was probably the best collaborator I'd ever worked with. He was super musical and, you know, gifted guitarist himself. So it just seemed an attractive combination. I'd really not encountered anybody quite like him.
We first started remembering this album and Jeff Buckley at the start of this week to mark the 25th anniversary. And at the time, a lot of our audience got in touch to say that it was their love of his father, Tim, that actually first got them interested in him. Was there a lot of expectation?
Well, no one really knew until we were seeing what we were going to, you know, get from Jeff Buckley. It was an unknown quantity to everyone in New York at that time. But he certainly, you know, lit up the room with his presence. And when we did that performance of the tribute to Tim Buckley the following day, he clearly was the centerpiece of the event. And there were a lot of great musicians who took part in that. But he shone very brightly indeed. So his gifts were almost instantly recognized, you know. And this would happen to be in New York. I know that he had struggled in L.A., where he had lived for a while, without much recognition, and he was very discouraged by it, but everything seemed to turn around for him by coming to New York City.
The album Grace took a generation by storm when it was released in 1994, particularly here in Australia. Do you have any sense of what it was that connected so much?
Well, I think the fact that it was such a personal statement, and it came out in the middle of, the grunge era in rock music, and it didn't really, you know, sound like that, although it rocked out and very hard in a couple of songs. You know, I mean, it just took some daring chances. The mixture, I think, on the album of extremely personal and tender moments, almost old-fashioned moments in their connection with people, like to the very center of their being. I mean, it really didn't sound like anything out there. It was timeless music, And that's why today, I think, it still stands out. It's always on these 50 best lists, 50 best albums of all time lists. It seems to always occupy a slot there. So I would just say that it was such an individualistic statement. And, you know, it really, you know, touched so many people, and they continue to discover it all over the world, which is a beautiful thing.
You ended up writing a book about Jeff Buckley. It's called Touched by Grace. And I'm interested in a particular extract from it. You describe seeing him for the last time a few months before he died. But there's a really interesting turn of phrase. You talk about how he looked pitiable. And at that time, he could be both genuine and manipulative at any given moment. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know what? I think I'd rather let people read the book and find out for themselves. it's difficult to explain in just a short amount of time. But I think when I saw him, you know, he had been out there a few years touring relentlessly with the record label behind it. And while he was, you know, doing great business on the road and attracting a large following, the record really hadn't done the business, as they say. And there'd been a lot of expectations put on him. So that there were enormous pressures upon him at that time to come up with, you know, a hit record, something that would be extremely popular seller. So I think, you know, at the point that I saw him, he seemed very fragile and vulnerable. That's really all I want to say about that. But, you know, the last time I saw him, he invited me on stage to perform Grace, which was one of the songs I co-wrote with him and played on that record. And that was, you know, a fantastic moment. And I felt really, you know, so thrilled to be up there working with him and performing with him again. And we had not had this kind of experience in a couple of years since he'd gone off to be solo. And so I remember feeling really positive and loving, and that's the feeling I'd like to preserve more than anything. I think, you know, people who are interested in the backstory should seek out that book, because I put down everything as I could recall, you know, at the time. But, you know, I prefer to just accentuate the positive
Gary
elements
Lucas,
of my relation.
We're really grateful to you for joining us this morning and sharing some of your memories. I know the album, the music, means a lot to many Australians, particularly those that grew up in the 90s.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show, Hamish.
Gary Lucas, guitar legend and Grammy-nominated songwriter and composer. Let's hear one more of Jeff Buckley's recordings. It's probably the most famous one, his cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. This is Breakfast on RN.
David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. And she broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley from his album Grace, which was released 25 years ago this week.